tithes and offerings, Lord, and I thank you for your blessings in our lives because of this covenant. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated, and the kids are dismissed. Well, you know, I don't know why it's just been one of those, for us, it's been one of those weeks. But, you know, we are standing, and, you know, this week several times I've asked God, I said, God, are you against me on this? Are you against me? And then yesterday I said, God, what am I supposed to be learning? Am I supposed to learn something out there? And just a little bit ago, I was standing back there, and I really felt God tell me that, you know, you typically, you know, leadership is a spear tip, okay? We kind of lead the tip of the, we lead the whole spear into the battle. And so typically when things start going stupid, this is what I'm talking about, it's just stupid. I know some of you got some stupid things that have happened. They're just stupid. But they happen and you have to deal with them. Some of you have had more serious things to have to deal with these last couple weeks and such. But God's really just showing me that when something comes against us, you're the rest of the spear. The tip is just that. It is the tip. The weight of the spear is only as strong as the rest, the whole shaft, the whole thing. And so when we, you know, when that tip goes into that battle, the whole spear has got to be able to keep its strength in order for the tip and any part of the head to be able to do what it's supposed to do. So it's a whole unit, okay? You can't just throw a spear tip into something and hurt it. You have to have the entire shaft in order to have the strength of the spear. And God was really showing that with me. And then, you know, my Marine mind started kicking in. And I started putting, you know, combat formations, combat Vs, combat wedges and stuff. You know, because you've all seen these movies where they'll go riding in on horses into a wall of people. And they ride in at a point, don't they? Did you ever notice the guy in the front doesn't get knocked down? That point goes through and they just keep splitting the enemy apart. And that is called a combat wedge. And the only way you can actually go against that is to create a combat V, which creates, you can surround them. But typically it's a straight on shot. But so what we've been looking at, what we've been seeing in people's lives is, like I said, just stupid things. There's some of you I know, I don't know what's going on. You know, you've probably not told anybody. Well, I'm here to tell you today, God knows what you're fighting. He knows what you're dealing with. And he is part of that spear too. He is what put us everything together. He's what holds us together. And he put us together for a purpose. For each other, first. For this community, which in my book is Central Ohio. This county and at least the five touching us. Okay? That is where I stand. Okay, I grab hold of that, and that's what I believe for. I believe for you guys. I believe for everything that you are standing for. We've prayed for you guys on things. You know, sometimes you don't even know. God just tells us to pray, and we pray. And when we get a message, hey, pray, we pray. And so, you know, and a lot of you are part of some of those text messages and messages on Facebook or whatnot, but there's just a lot of stuff that happens in people's lives. I want to begin today just by reading, starting in the 70th Psalm at verse 1. To the chief musician of David, too far, I'm not that fast, of David, to bring to remembrance or make memorial, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. That has been my cry all stinking week. Since last week, we informed, you know, we lost water. Well, Sunday afternoon, we went out, put air pressure to the water line, and we had an air hole out in the middle of the yard shooting up. We dug down, found the pipe finally, and the pipe didn't look like pipe anymore. It looked kind of, you know, like rock. It had weird shapes that were missing. So we're like, okay, if any other parts of this look like this, we might as well just change the whole thing. So whenever I talked to my neighbor that night, he just got a backhoe. I'm like, praise God. I thought he did. Pretty sure. And I went over and I said, please, please, oh, please. And he said, Art, he said, I'd love to let you just take it. He said, but I went out to dig up some stuff today, and I barely got it out from behind the barn. He said, the fuel filters are plugged. We'll have new fuel filters tomorrow afternoon. All right. I put everything off, started getting stuff ready Monday morning. I'm checking pipes, and I'm trying to get this one pipe out of the ground, or in the casing. It's to pull the whole thing up. And I'm trying to put something else on it, and the piece breaks. Now, mind you, I've already cut the edge down because it had a real ugly edge. It was crooked, and I wanted it a little straighter. And I'm down, and Monday, y'all remember Monday, it was nice out. At least it wasn't my house because I was wearing shorts. And I'm out there, and I'm bent down about right here, and I'm trying to twist this fitting on, and the pipe broke. And I had all my weight going forward, which these days has been a lot more than it has ever been before. And my right leg in those shorts caught the edge of that newly cut metal, and I fell forward. And, oh, it was probably 10 minutes later, you know, I had this great big old ugly, wasn't a gash, but boy, did it hurt. And it was bleeding a little bit, but it was the hematoma that was about that tall that stayed for about 10 hours. And so there's Monday. Tuesday, I couldn't do anything because, well, when I got the fuel filters back, Monday evening I went over there, pushed the button on the thing after turning key on, and nothing. Nothing, nothing. Well, the switch had gone bad. We tried to find a switch. Tuesday morning he ordered a switch. It wasn't going to be there until Wednesday, so I started doing some other things. In the process of doing those other things, I stepped down off of a drywall platform and onto a 2x4 and rolled my right ankle. The same leg I'd just raped the day before on steel. Wednesday rolls around. The switch isn't in yet. Switch isn't in yet. Switch isn't in yet. Finally, sometime that afternoon, he calls him. Oh, yeah, the switch did come in. He got the switch. We went back, put it on. Long story short there, the battery cable. It was probably the number one problem. It kept coming loose. We didn't know it. And we got it all running, and I took it back home, and he had new filters on it, and probably dug 15 minutes, which was enough for me to go about 20 feet away from the house. And the tractor, I barely got it out of my own yard. It could barely move at that point. So I parked it, called him, and told him, and his fuel tank is full of rust. And but that wasn't the part on me. Wednesday, I had to run over to Mount Vernon to find the only place that had 300 feet of pipe in one section. And while loading some other things, I pulled a muscle in my hip, my right hip. So Thursday finally rolls around. I just told him, I said, don't worry about it. I'm going to go. I rented a little Traco, and I'm going to tell you all right now, I want one. I don't know what I'm going to dig, but I want one. It was fun. Even though this wasn't the littlest one they had, but boy, was it. It was fun. I got to dig for 8 hours. And that's how much the rental time is, just so you all know. If you ever rent equipment like that, you may say, oh, I got 24 hours. No, you have 8 working hours. That's what the hour meter is for. I took it back with 2/10 of an hour left. It took me 8 hours to dig 200 feet because my driveway has been so compacted by semis hauling milk for years. And I didn't get hurt that day because I was sitting on the thing. So Friday, I took the thing back. Now, mind you, my trailer, well, I did load it up when I got the skid or the little loader on my trailer, walked around to the one tire that my boys have been on me to change for I don't know how long. Oh, yes, I forgot about that. My truck was on empty. Somebody had gone to Marion for me and forgot to fill my truck up, but that's as much my fault. But it was on empty. Like, well, I got the trailer, so I'm going to go into Mount Gilead because I got a 16-foot trailer. Ran up Sunoco, got gas, and I'm sitting there waiting for his little truck to drive by, and this old guy in a pickup truck backs into my trailer. I'm sitting there thinking, are you kidding me? I have no lights. They've all fallen out because rubber housings are a stupid idea. And I go back and say, well, I told him, I said, you probably didn't hurt my trailer. And he's like, oh, good, thank you. And then he's looking around, and I said, he said, this must be yours. It was a little piece of wire, the pigtail for your plug-in. I looked at it, and I said, no, that ain't mine. Mine's on the other end of the trailer. I said, that one's yours. He looked, oh, dog on it. So got hit there, got up, no ticket. I did actually had a cop behind me, didn't pull me over, praise the Lord. Loaded the thing up, though, and that one tire said, I'm not going anywhere. It squatted, and it just kind of looked like a beached whale, just sitting there. It wasn't going anywhere. Had to change the tire in the rain, and got back. Praise God, it quit raining at our house anyhow. And I was able to keep digging, took it back. Friday morning, it was pouring. If y'all remember rain around here, it was torrential, and it was just coming down, and I'm driving down this thing because they didn't have ramps I could use, and I use these great big oak planks to get in my barn with the trucks and stuff. And I thought, it'll hold, and it did, except it wasn't raining when I first did it, and I got going down through there, and the weight shifted, and everything slid to the side, and the ramps shot out from underneath me, and wham! Stuck. Half on, half off. Praise God, I watched enough Gold Rush. I know how to make one of them things move. You can ask Angie. You should have seen me out there digging by the house, man. I had this thing, the blade lifting it up and walking myself around. It was fun. I'm telling you, that was my first time running one. It was a blast. So Friday night, we're thinking we're going to rock and roll. I've got her and Justin digging a new hole underneath the house to put the line. They couldn't meet. And so I said, I'll crawl underneath the house, and I'll do this. And I'm digging. And I'm on my left side, and I just had my leg up, and I went like that, and the tendon flipped over in my knee. I heard it snap. So if you see me limping, that's why. But because of the pain, I woke up at 2 in the morning and watched a few movies, a few documentaries, and went to breakfast with the guys, and we talked, and hallelujah, the knee popped. I said, you know what, there's running water in this bathroom. I think I'm going to go back into the restaurant, and I walked back across the parking lot, and it snapped. And so it started healing. But the kicker was we set the pump in the hole, in the casing, Friday night. And where it's called a pitless adapter, where your pipe goes into your casing, my pump hit that adapter and wouldn't go any further. It's only 5 feet. I got to go another 20 to get to the water. And couldn't get it. I'm about ready to jump up and down on it. So Saturday afternoon, I called a well company, got a hold of one that said, yeah, we've got a fix for that. It's a 3-inch pump. All right. He said, I'm not going to lie, it's a little pricey. It was $968. I did the old Fred Sanford thing. And I said, God. But I'm like, you know what? This week has made us appreciate water, having it. Just turn on a faucet. You know, that's something we take for granted. You know, you don't know humility until you have to take a pitcher and flush the toilet. I was just thinking to myself, boy, I've really done a good job of keeping my toilets working, because as a kid, there was a lot of times we had to do that because something was wrong with the toilet. And anyhow, I just remember, splash, I hate this. You always got to have water. You know, my neighbor, hallelujah, he sent us over 2 35-gallon drums full of water, and we had water to do stuff like that. But $968 for a pump. You know, that's a hard thing to swallow. And he said, but you know, he said, we have a different route we go, because he said, that's a lot of money for a pump. And this is the guy selling it to me. He said, we have this other kind of adapter. I'm thinking, cool, I'm liking this. Now, mind you, it took me about 3 hours to dig the mud out the day before, because just before I went to connect the water line, the walls caved in because of the rain. So I had about 2 feet more of mud to dig down. I remember walking by, seeing the water line right there. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll come back here, get some things done here, and I'll come back, jump down in there, pull that all apart, put the new water line on, come back, and it caved in. And so I went and got this adapter yesterday. The guy met me. And I want to tell you, you know, I had actually said this out loud. I said, God, are you against me? What is going on? You know, that's what David was saying, by the way. Hey, help me. What are you, where are you at? Okay? This is how God showed me. It wasn't him. The guy he was on call and he had to get ready to go out because somebody else was without water. He said, here's the part you need, unless you want to go with the $900 pump. And this adapter turned out to be $175. But it was still cheaper than $900. And he said, you're going to have to cut a bigger hole. I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll stop by, get Joshua's torches and cut it, which, as it turned out, that's how they cut the original hole. But he said, I will send this with you. This is a hole saw that I made because I got tired of them wobbling. He said, this piece of pipe will fit right inside the hole that should be there, and it'll cut. The man sent me with the tool that I would need. God said, that's how you know I wasn't against you. What I thought was going to be the hardest part was the shortest part of the day. Bailing mud turned out to be the longest part of the day, and water. And when Jesse got through there, boy, man, the water just kind of disappeared for a little bit. It took a little bit longer. We got the adapter all on. You know, it was a long day. We were almost done, and I realized I needed some fittings. The ones I thought I could use off the old pump weren't going to work. And I told her at 8:30 last night, I said, our dreams of water this week are shot. And I said, she said, well, we're going to go over to Mom's and shower. And I said, all right. And I said, let's make a list of what I need while I'm down here. And she says, how about we just go tomorrow after church? And I said, well, by the time everything's done, we're going to have some time wrapped up in that. And I said, tell you what, I'm going to the store. I'll drop you guys off, and I'll go to Mansfield for $3.65 worth of parts. Yeah. Praise God, Menards was open till 10. So, in all of that, God was saying, I'm not against you. This is, you can call it a test. Because I kept telling Jesse, as he's bailing mud, I mean, he's getting mad. He's down there, and every time we were using the shop vac to pull water out quicker, and every time we'd pull it up, because, you know, if they don't get air, they just kind of stop, and when you move them, it lets go, or we throw the hose back in for him. He got covered in mud. He was just a muddy mess yesterday because I couldn't get back in the hole. And he's getting frustrated, and he's getting mad, and, you know, and I said, buddy, this is perseverance. It's got to be done. You have to overcome this. You know, and I'm speaking because I've already been there. I was there the day before. I had the same thing, except he had hail. I don't know about y'all, but we had 3 different hail showers yesterday. And So we had to deal with all that stuff, and I just thought it was a great opportunity to show my family, you know, my young boys, you got to sometimes stick with it. I kind of taught on that last week, didn't I? Improvise and overcome. My sump pump that I used to have was junk. Use a shop vac. But we got that stuff in, and this afternoon, hallelujah, I declare by faith, there will be water in my house once again. Not just the mess we're tracking in. And I've said all that. Let's go ahead and read the next verse. Let them be put to shame and confounded that seek and demand my life. Let them be turned backward and brought to confusion and dishonor, who desire and delight in my hurt. Verse 3. Let them be turned back and appalled because of their shame and disgrace, who say, aha! They don't say it twice. It's just written that way for emphasis. Verse 4. May all those who seek and inquire of you and for you and require you as their vital need rejoice and be glad in you, and may those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Next verse. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not tarry. Next. That's it. Okay. I was thinking there were 7. This is David, a man who has made a lot of mistakes, but a man, God said, he loves me. In all of that, as soon as things start going wrong, what's the first thing people have said? We were taught, well, if things go wrong, you better look for sin in your life. That is true. Examine yourself. However, understand, John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Kill. Not kill. Kill. And destroy. The thief comes to do that. The thief didn't come to bless me. The thief came to take my joy, starting last week. The thief came to take my ability to take a shower, which I like. The thief came to take away from us. And what God showed me back there when I was standing back there, folks, we're the tip. Usually there's a lot of stuff we've already gone through when it starts coming down. You understand how that tip works. There's a lot of stuff we've already gone through. You may follow up. Some of you are going through stuff right now. You're in there. That's why we're going to pray and attack it today. But God said, the victory, folks. The victory. When the spear does its job, there's victory. Okay? There's a victory coming. There's victory, there's breakthrough, there are things coming. That is why the thief is coming to steal, to try to kill, and to try to destroy you. But we do not have to sit back and let him. Because Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and you may have it more abundantly. That's over and beyond anything you could ever imagine. God will do all this stuff if you just trust. Hold on. And instead of cursing God when you fell over the pipe and, you know, when you rolled your ankle, I mean, I was not happy. Because the sad part is I saw it coming. I saw what was about to happen. And there was no way I could stop it. I've got a 2x4 in his hand and I'm stepping down. And it was slow motion. I saw it happen before it happened. I hate that. And I sat there and I just rubbed it a little bit. And I said, well, there ain't nothing I can do. And I started walking. It's a little sore. My knee's sore. I'm not going to lie about it. But it's not going to stop me. You can ask her. She had to threaten me. You will not get in the hole. You will not crawl underneath the house. You have sons. They can do this. And so what we are experiencing, folks, is a battle. It's a fight. If you're frustrated, hold on. You got to hold on. Hold fast. You know what I mean? That means just you don't let go. You don't let go for nothing. So many people today, they get that. That's how you can find somebody's real faith, is where when they get hit with a little storm, whoosh, they're gone. They're hit and run. They got hit and they ran. When you stand your ground, that's why the apostle told us, stand. And having done all to stand, stand. I can't stand anymore. Even in that mud, I told Jesse, you know, he's standing in mud up to his knees. Mud's coming over the gum boots, and it wasn't fun, I can promise you. I said, but you got to trust me. In all that mud, there is a solid ground under it. You just got to get to it. You've got to stand. And finally, he's trying to put this pipe on. He's, you know, if you've ever put those barbed fittings on, they're a booger. And I usually find a little bit of spit helps them, especially if you've drank sweet tea recently, because it's really slimy. I said, you know, but fortunately there was water in the hole, so it was lubricated. And he's, Dad, it won't go. And I'm trying to tell him from up above how to do this. And I'm getting frustrated because I know how to do it, but now I'm trying to convey into a musician's head how to do something mechanically, because I'm not a musician. I'm mechanical. That stuff just, it happens. For him, it's music. And he's trying to push and trying to push, and finally he's starting to wiggle and it's getting on. And I said, there, that's it. He went from frustration to being angry. I said, that's where you need to be. Get angry. Get at it. Push it. Push it. Keep going. Keep going. Football players, right? That's it. That's how you get through that line. You push. You get mad. You get after them. Forget what's going on. And he just kept going and kept going. And bing, there it was. It slipped on. That's where you've got to be in your faith when things come after you. You've got to get angry. You're allowed to be angry. The Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. He got angry and did not sin, because the rejoicing took place after. You know, your offensive line or your defensive line, when they get angry and they do their job, they rejoice, don't they? They don't, oh Lord, we need to repent. There's nothing wrong with being angry. There is such a thing as a holy anger. It is a set apart anger that you control for good. Not going out burning buildings down and rolling cop cars. That's stupidity and criminal. That is not anger. That is frustration. And when we get frustrated and let that happen, bad anger comes in. Good anger brings change. Good anger does things. And when we can do that, folks, we can change things. We can change the world. When we get fed up, because frustration, like I said, frustration takes you to a point you can't operate, can you? I just got to get away. No. And I know Jesse was hurt. He'd been in that hole for 4 hours. His back is killing him. His neck hurts. I know, I did it the day before. That's why I said, buddy, I've been there. I know your pain. And I'd have been there instead of him if I could have. Kind of how God must have felt. But, honestly, I don't think that came about as much for me, well, maybe it did, as for him. To learn that when things aren't going your way, you just got to stick with it. I know he wanted out of that hole. I mean, you couldn't tell what color his pants were when they got out. They were tan. He was tan from about here down and about here up. When things are frustrating, you want to retreat. You don't want to stand. But I'm promising you, folks, if you will stand, you will reap a good reward. We will reap if we faint not. And that means you've got to dig in. I don't care if you're losing. There is solid ground somewhere. Find it. And I'm not just trying to be an optimist today. Typically, I am a little more optimistic than most. But I'm also sometimes a realist.
Yeah, Pastor, you don't. You just ain't got no faith. No, I see no point in that program anymore. Cut its throat. Kill the program. Let that thing die. Let's move on to something that's going to work. You following me on some of that? There are things in our lives, sometimes we do got to let that thing die. Sometimes it has to go. You can't grow if you keep holding on to things that are dying. Did you ever notice a tree doesn't keep trying to hold on to a dead branch? It'll let the wind break it. Because the wind will eventually break it. It lets the leaves go when they die. Why? Because new life is behind it. You've got to keep going. If those leaves don't fall, the tree can't grow. So we are stuck in a realm where we keep thinking, oh, this is all happening. This is kind of where David was at, folks. You need to understand about David. David did not have the benefit of the Holy Spirit or a personal relationship with God. He seriously was crying out from a point of helplessness. I'm here to tell you today, you are not helpless. You are not a victim. You are the victor in Christ. And if you think that victory comes without a fight, you are insane. Right, guys? Victory only comes with a fight. Anybody in here who's ever fought anything? It only comes with a blood-curdling fight. But the church wants to focus on bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Do you know what blessing comes with? A fight. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to speak it and it's going to happen. How about when the devil actually attacks? Then what are you going to do? You're weak. I believe in speaking what you want. That's why I declared today we will have water. I even made a song about it on the way in. We will have water. I don't remember what tune it was to, but there is speaking, and then Paul talked about fighting. He talked more about standing and fighting these things than he ever did speaking about you being prosperous. Because he said, brothers and sisters, one, I do pray that you are prosperous as your soul prospers. Your soul is the part where it digs out the, I'm going to fight. I'm not going to run anymore. I'm going to fight and I'm going to win. Because when you come out on the other side of this thing, a victor, the next thing that comes at you, you're like, bring it on. Come on. Bring it on. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to me? It says, I'm going to go get some of my buddies. That's when you really need to change your attitude about who you are, who your big brother is, and who your daddy is. Because there is one thing, and you've heard me say it before, and I always told my boys, I said, if you got somebody picking on you at school, please find out how big his daddy is. Just being serious. You know, you're going to deal with a bully. You got to deal with daddy too. Because anybody wants to go after my boy is going to get me. And they're going to misjudge me, I can promise you. Because I'm a biter. I have no problems cheating. I'll bite anything, anywhere. You call me Mike Tyson. Because you're going to be Evander Holyfield. But do you understand what I'm saying about this fighting stuff? This is what I'm saying. There's a victory coming. I praise God. You're experiencing victory. Hallelujah. That happens. But when this thing is in full-on war mode, we will all begin to experience victories. I know some other things that are happening in people's lives right now. That God is moving, making a way where it looked like things were shut down. But also, in that point, opening new opportunities. You have to stand. You have to stand. And it sometimes is hard when there's hail coming down on you.
when there's rain, when you're the flood, when the enemy is trying to come in like a flood. You need to understand, we had a piece of Luan behind him as a dam and boards, and eventually it started lifting that up. There was over 3 feet of mud behind him. Mind you, he was standing now, when he got it cleaned, he'd had the mud down to about here, and that was pushing that dam away. It had moved it. And so we had to reposition it and get some more things and had to clean more mud out so we could continue. You just got to keep making adjustments. You keep making adjustments and moving. Some people say, well, I'm just going to stand right here. I'm not moving. Well, sometimes, you know, Rob was dealing with some things and he said, God, what do I got to do? God showed him what to do. He made the adjustments in his life. You got to do that. What is for your life? Because what works for one does not always work for another. What works for me may not work for Richard. That's why each one of us are in different battles. They're usually things in our sphere. I want you to focus on that. In our sphere of knowledge. All of this stuff. You know, I've had lots of people say, you know, my neighbor, hey, I can come over and help you and all. It wasn't a matter of help at that point, except for pulling some wire that got a little frustrating for me, but it wasn't that. It was all the circumstances surrounding the whole stupid thing. I was like, God, couldn't this have happened last week when it was 80 and sunny and dry? Not a week where we got 3 inches of rain in one day. I mean, right now at the moment, I have 2 cars stranded on the other side of the driveway because they'd come around behind the barn. But because of all this glorious rain, if you don't have a four-wheel drive truck, you aren't coming out from behind the barn. You can go in, but you ain't coming out. And I refuse to wash my truck when I got to drive back around. I mean, the only plus I saw in that this morning is I got to do a little off-roading before church. So that's why we're going to pray today. And I'm serious. If you've got something that you're believing for, you'd better ask for it today, because I'm at the point where Jesse was putting that fitting on. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to pray and make this thing happen. That's where I'm at. My faith isn't here. My faith is right here, right now, because I know the God I serve. And he's a good God. He is a loving God. All this garbage has been against me. But he says, he will work it out to my good. Let me tell you some of the good that's going to take place out of this. Because by the way, we changed the pump too. Our pump was in the basement. It was a half horsepower pump, 150 feet away from the well, and it had to go down another 25 feet. My pump was only designed to pull the water up out of the well 25 feet, not 175 feet. I could put my thumb on it and just barely get it to get any real suction. I mean, you can get more suction out of a straw from McDonald's. And it's trying to pull water from 175 feet away. That pump is not designed. It should have been out by the barn pumping it to the house. It would have been fine. So now I'm thinking, oh, now I got to put all this out. Got to make a water well house. Got to heat it and got to keep all that. And then we're like, well, why don't we just put one in the thing and be done with it. Just run. We got a big hole. Let's just go ahead and put the wire in. And folks, I'm going to tell you, this little half horsepower pump was only maybe at this point, it was under 6 gallons per minute is how much it could pump from the thing. I've got an 86 gallon tank. I am Tim the Toolman Taylor. If a little tank is good, big tank is bigger. So when I went to get my pump, 3/4 horsepower, 1 horsepower. One price, $30 more. Same wire, same amperage, same voltage. Everything else is the same. For me, more power. When this thing comes online, at the depth of the well, I'll be able to pump about 25 gallons per minute. I may not need a tank in the house. Well, they're rated for 200 PSI.
I got the good ones. I was like, oh, yeah, 200 probably better.
But you see what I'm saying? God worked this out. Because that's one thing I have to say. I messed about town. We had great water pressure in our house. You can turn in the shower. I mean, I remember when we first moved in town, I was like, oh, man, this almost feels like a pressure washer. And then I got used to it. Oh, yeah, because I'd come home greasy and dirty. And that, man, that stuff could just beat right through that in my hair. And move out here. Well, it's okay, but you really got to work because it kind of loses its pressure with this aging old pump in the basement. God worked it out. I have plenty of water pressure. And that would, see, the big tank, y'all think, well, Pastor, you just have to go over the top. Da, da, da. See, that big tank saved me on my one horsepower pump because the guy said, ooh, you may have too much pump for your house. How big of a tank do you have? I said, 86 gallon. Oh, you're good. It worked out to my advantage. And I got more power. But you see, folks, God will work whatever it is coming against you to your favor. If you will stand. Not lay back and cry and whine about why is this happening to me. I never once asked, why is this happening? I said, God, are you against me? What's going on? God was just still kind of saying, hey, dummy, open your eyes. What did I tell you? I'm not against you. I'm for you. And sometimes even preachers need to go through little tests and trials to remind them, trust in God in all things, in all times. Well, Pastor, I see that there's something worse coming and I just fear for the future. Oh, shut up.
No wonder you're stressed. Quit worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got more than enough worries of its own. Live for today. Pastor, now that sounds just so humanistic.
Well, I'm going to promise you this much. Not living is antichrist. Did you hear what I said? If you're one of those people that chooses to live, well, I just stay right here in my little cave and I'm just going to dwell here. If that's you, I'm promising you right now, that's antichrist. Because he said, I've come to give you life. Not life inside a cave. People who dwell in caves are not living. They always said a couple things would happen to you in Okinawa as a Marine. You become a religious nut. A bunch of them did. They'd find Christ, but when they got back to the States, they kind of turned around, some of them. But you'd become a religious nut because all you ever did was went to church. You become a musclehead. Y'all seen them? They just go to the gym. They have all these muscles, but they really don't help them. One of my platoon sergeants, when I got there, placed third in Mr. and Mrs. Far East competition. I want you to understand, he was a big man. He was 6'4". One of his thighs, even now, was the size of my waist. He was a big, big man. He was huge. He placed third. I think a woman beat him. No, there were some big women there in that competition, too, because we watched him that year. And he was a great guy, unless you crossed him. And I'm just out running because he couldn't run for squat. You can't run with tree trunks. Now, if he caught me, he could squeeze me to death in them. But I was going to make sure that never happened. You become a musclehead. Had a roommate. Man, he just chiseled all up in here. Mind you, he had calves this big around. I think his were the only calves smaller than mine. Or you became a hermit. Somebody that never left the barracks. Never got to go out and see Surrey Castle. Coral life. Jellyfish in the wild. Lionfish in the wild. By the way, they hit you with those little things. I know because a friend of mine, my first trip out, he found a 7-Up bottle, and he found one over here, And this thing starts tink, 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 tink. You could hear it through the water. And I'm thinking, okay, stupid, those are poisonous. We are too far out for you to be doing this. Or to see a sea snake. You know, those ribbon snakes just on the bottom, just waving like it's grass, but it's a snake. And then to leave your friend there who has no flippers because he's too cheap. And then just to sit there and swirl the water and aggravate the snake. It was fun. Oh, I don't. They have to bite you between your fingers or between your toes. They can't bite you up here. But if they do, you're dead. Just keep your fingers closed. But see, as a Christian, if all you ever do is just maybe go to church, or we'll say church, but you never participate, you never become a part, and just go home, you're a hermit. You can participate in church. Guess what? You can participate outside of church. There are things we can do. I'm going to show you something. God showed me something in a scripture a little bit ago. I'm not going to get to it today because we're going to pray. So I hope you got your requests ready. God doesn't want you stuck. He wants you living. He wants you to see great things. I mean, man, if you can travel, now don't be gone all the time. We miss you. But praise, if you can go to Europe, see the Rock of Gibraltar, you can go to Japan and see Mount Fuji. I just didn't want to because I'd had enough of the cold. Or you can go see the jungles knowing this isn't Columbus Zoo. The cobras aren't behind a glass wall. If you can see the pyramids, there's so much on this planet, and all we do, y'all don't need to go see it. I have no desire to see anything. Oh, expand your mind. What's the song? Free your mind and the rest will follow. Get out of the religious rut that God wants you to be destitute and poor and miserable and sad. No, it doesn't. Thank you. That doesn't bring God glory. Man, if my children go out and their clothes are ragged and they, you know, sometimes they've driven the junkiest vehicle. Well, not really. They've even never done that. I had the junkier vehicle. Y'all remember my Sanford and Sons mobile? That didn't bring me glory. Unfortunately, the kids, we like to cut holes in our pants and stuff like that. But that doesn't bring God glory. And if you have no joy in your life, and if you're the person causing the no joy, knock it off. God wants you to be happy. I know I keep preaching that, but it's the truth. All right, I'm done preaching. Got prayer requests. Rob, if you'll gather them up on your way up. Like I said, I wasn't going to do this way today, but I was standing back here, and I really felt impressed by God to do this. I'm going to pray for them. We're going to hit them. And like I said, I'm just in a fighting mood. I may pray some things that might concern you. Oh, well, Pastor, I didn't ask you to pray that way. Well, maybe God showed me something to pray that way. Praise God. I want you all to know this is the most we've had in a long time. It tells me you needed this. Sometimes tradition can go the wayside. Okay. Unfortunately, I do have to put my eyeballs back on. To tell you what kind of glorious day. You see, this one's kind of cranked. Well, the lens was popped out of this one, and then I put it back, and it popped back out. They were all somehow gotten distorted. Thank God they're metal framed. They bend easy. But we're going to believe. I want you, and if you can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. We are Spirit-filled. It doesn't mean you have to. But if you feel that stirring up in you, don't hold it back. Pray. Let it out. Because what you are being at that point is the infantry coming in. Okay? And if you don't know how to pray in the Spirit and you want to, ask God. And then open your mouth. That's all there is to it. For me, I'm going to hit some of you right between the eyes with this one. For me, I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. That's goofy. I'm going to tell you right now, you aren't doing it. Penn State tried to prove that Christians who speak in tongues are generating it. They put Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, with brain monitors on. And when they started praying in the Spirit, nothing changed. There was no extra brain activity. It was just as if they were sitting there. They said, they aren't doing it. But when they would speak, the brain activity changed. It's Penn State. I think a reputable college in spite of recent blunders. So pray. Hallelujah. Let's go before the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Father God, we come before you today in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we have come bearing the